Well, good morning. I think can you hear me okay? I think I got the button on. Everybody hear me okay? Not used to having something hooked to me, so I'm just going to go ahead and apologize up front. I clear my throat a lot, and so if you hear that, I am very sorry, because it's going to happen several times. But like Pastor David said, my name's Jeremy Duggins. I live right down the road. My wife's family owns Zeb's Barbecue, and so I've shared that everywhere I go. A lot of people, they come up to me afterwards and say, well, we either really love it or we really hate it. So just keep your opinions to yourself, and we'll go from there. But the one thing, just kind of tell you, I've been here in Georgia. I'm from North Carolina. David and I didn't know each other, but we do have some mutual friends that, you know, from there that are in the ministry. But I actually had met David just for the first time when I came and spoke last Thursday men's meeting. I really feel like just with that meeting, I hopefully there's going to be more things that God's going to be doing with us together and some different things. But I want to share with you, a lot of you that were there that Thursday night, this may be it's going to be a repeat for you. Hopefully the Lord will use something that may not have happened that Thursday night. Maybe God will do it this morning, and God will just put stir up our hearts with conviction, and we can leave this place changed. And I'm standing before you this morning, and I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out here. There's nothing special about me. Okay, I am here just like anybody. I'm here by the grace of God. And you're looking at a guy that over 20 years ago, I surrendered my life to Christ. The Lord has changed my life. And during that time, as many of you know, in your own walk with the Lord, there's been highs, there's been lows. There's been times of trial. There's been times of tragedy. There's been times of testing. There's been times that I have gone through a lot, and during those times, I can tell you that Jesus Christ has brought me through everything. And I can tell you, I can stand up here not just to say it and just say, oh, well, you know, here it is, but Jesus Christ is the answer. And I hope this morning that as we look at His Word, and as we just listen to a story, a true story that happened to me, how God changed my life. And I can tell you, you know, several months ago, or even let's just go back to 2019, you know, this guy here, I've always been on staff at a church. I've been bivocational. I would lead worship, or I was a college pastor, a youth pastor, anything like that. But I always had a roofing business, and that's what I did. But I can tell you, for probably a year, the whole year of 2019, I decided, a lot of times people in ministry, they use the word sabbatical. We want to be have a time of rest. We need a time that we can pull back and we can reflect and allow just things to pour into us. But I can tell you, my time of rest turned into a time of disobedience. And this is a warning for you this morning. We can't ever take a break. I'm going to tell you something. The enemy, the one that we are fighting against, the word says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. You know, there is a battle that's going on, a spiritual battle that they never sleep, they never rest. There's a battle going on, and I can tell you right now, if you look at the way that our country is heading right now, you know, just watch presidential debates, and you can see that. And I can tell you, I know we're not supposed to talk about this church, but I am. Guys, I'm gonna tell you something, and this may hurt your feelings or whatever, wherever it may fall. The Democratic Party is they've never been right, in my personal opinion, but they're going by the wayside. And when you can sit there and look, and you can talk to me afterwards, we can debate about it. But when your nominees, you've got a communist, a professing homosexual, all these things that are standing up there that are representing a majority of the country, guys, we're in bad shape. We need a time of it. You can clap. And also, listen to me, I got to start preaching, brother. I didn't come here to talk about that. But guys, let me tell you something. The enemy does not rest. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we've got to be careful, because a lot of times, you know, the Bible talks about having rest. We need rest. And that's biblical. That's scriptural. We need rest. We need time of refreshing and time to allow God to fill us. And that needs to happen every day. But let me tell you something. I took a break on God. Okay, I know for a solid year, I took a break on God. You know, and it was one of those things, and you're probably wondering about this deer head. I know a lot of the guys have seen it, and there was a video that I put out about it, and I'm just going to talk about it. My sons and I, we went up to Kentucky to hunt. This was this past fall, and as we were up there hunting, It was the first morning gun season. We're sitting there, and I'm going to make this quick. We've got to get to it. This deer came walking by, and as this deer came walking by, you know, as a lot of y'all can see that there's a problem with this deer head. It's got one good side, one bad side. Well, as we were sitting there hunting, as this deer began to walk by, my son and I, we saw this side of the horns, and I was like, you know what? I said, that's looks like a good deer. We're going to just keep our eyes on it. And any of you deer hunters, or, you know, you see any kind of deer, don't matter if it's a buttonhead or a doe or whatever, you see a deer, your heart gets to pumping and your blood gets to moving. You're like, whoo, here's some movement. We're seeing a deer. Well, this deer comes in and we see this side and he comes walking in. And I said, oh, buddy, man, he's chasing a doe. Man, that's a good one. We got to watch him. Well, then he turned and went back the other way. And when he turned, I saw this horn. And when I turned and saw this horn, I looked at my son and I said, you know what? I said, that sorry rascal, he's showing us his good side. You know, and he ran off and he went up, you know, back up to another field, and then probably 20 minutes later, here he comes again running down through, and we see this side, and I look at it and I'm like, oh, here comes a buck. Here, I see him, and I got him in my scope. I'm sitting there watching him, and there again, you know, I see this set of horns, and I look and he turns and comes back the other way, and I said, man, I said, he's showing us his good side. You know, and I begin, and here's the thing, as I begin to say that, I probably said it three or four times to my son, my seven-year-old son who's here, he's sitting in the middle there. I said it to him, I said, Canaan, he's showing us his good side. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And the Holy Spirit began to speak. He said, well, Jeremy, that's what you do. He said, you know, he said, you wanted everybody to see it. And guys, here's the thing, and I'm talking about me this morning. Okay, let the chips fall where they may, but this is talking about me. You know what? I would come through the doors of the church. You know, here's a guy that would lead worship on Sunday mornings. I play piano on Sunday mornings. I have opportunity to speak and to preach and stand up here and preach God's word. And I would come in to God's house wearing this side. And as I was walking into God's house, this was the side that everybody was seeing. This was the side that everybody, I was like, this is what I want everybody to think, that everything's going good. You know, during this time of rest, and I'm being honest with you, I'm being transparent with you this morning. During my time of rest, you know what? I quit reading God's word. During that time of rest, I quit praying. You know, during that time of rest, and I'm going to get to it, but it's something that is so scary, and one of the verses that we're going to read this morning out of Revelation, I recall the Lord showed this to me, but I had told my wife, I had even let this come out of my mouth, and I can't even believe I said it. You know, the Bible talks about the church of Laodicea, it was the lukewarm church. You know, Jesus said, you're neither hot nor you're cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I even remember recalling last year saying to my wife, I was like, well, I'm not hot. I might as well just be cold. And I'm going to tell you something. I was getting to a point in my life to where I didn't even care anymore. I didn't want to go to church. Here was a guy that was teaching young people on a Wednesday night. And I didn't even want to go into the church because I was taking a break. And let me tell you something, you know what? And that's what the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. The Holy Spirit said, Jeremy, this is what you want people to see, but this is who you truly look like. This is what you're hiding. And you know what, and for many of you this morning, and here's the thing, if you are sensing conviction right now, if the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, let me tell you, it's from Him. You know what? Because I would sit in services. I went to a revival that was at our church at Trinity Baptist, and an evangelist came and he spoke. And you know what? I would sit there in that church service that whole week, and the Holy Spirit was just burning me up. You know, and I just knew that my lifestyle was not matching what this was coming out of this. I was preaching one thing but living another. And you know, and as I saw this deer, and as we continued to saw this deer, the Holy Spirit, he told me, he said, Jeremy, he said, that's you. He said, you've got that good side, and you want everybody to see that. That's what you're showing, but this is who you truly are. You know, and just to sum up a long story, I'm not going to tell you all. You can go home and you can watch the video, and it's the full 25 minutes worth. But guys, let me tell you something. This deer, I ended up, the Lord told me I needed to shoot this deer. Okay, and so I ended up, I shot this deer, and, you know, there again, watch the video. I did not kill the deer that day. Knew the Lord wanted me to shoot it. I ended up shooting it, didn't kill the deer. A month went by. Okay, here it is. A month went by. This is up in Kentucky. We're in Georgia. The guys that we leased the property from that are up there ended up, we went back hunting again. He called me. He said, hey, I found your deer. Yeah, this has been a month. Okay, so we went back up there, we were hunting, we went and drug this deer out, and you can imagine a deer that's been laying around a month, it stinks. Okay, this thing has been rotten, and it's been sitting there stinking. And you know, during the time that the Lord told me to shoot this deer, you got to understand, for that whole month, God's been working on me. Okay, the Lord showed me, that's you, you're living a lie, there's some things. And guys, let me tell you something, I just nonchalantly, I looked at it, I was like, oh yeah, Lord, there's some sin in my life, I need to, you know, to confess, and there's things I've been doing, there's things I've been saying just because I've been on a break from you, and Lord, yeah, Lord, please forgive me, just going through the motions, just kind of playing the game. But can I tell you something, when I went back up there to Kentucky and we found this deer, we cut the head off that deer, I put it in a trash bag, we brought it back to Georgia. My wife was gone out of town, took my daughter, it was just my sons, and we're sitting there, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to do a European mount of this thing. Well, if you do European mounts, you've got to bull the head. Okay, so if you can imagine, I had to cut the rotten flesh, and this is gruesome, but I had to cut the rotten flesh off of this deer head. And as I'm cutting away this rotten flesh before I begin to bull it, I'm going to tell you something, the stench of this deer was so terrible that I was sick. I began to vomit. I mean, and it wasn't, you know, anything like, it was violent. Okay, and guys, I'm being serious with you. It was a violent sickness. Okay, and when I began to vomit, you know, I got it as good as I could. I put it in the pot, I began to boil it. I went back inside, and as I let it boil for about an hour, and as I came back out of the house, where I was boiling, it was about 80 yards from my front door. But when I opened my front door, the stench of this aroma that was being boiled in this pot filled the air around me, and it was so strong that I began to get sick on the porch, 80 yards away. And you know, and I went up there and I said, how terrible. I mean, I was boiling rotten flesh. You know, and as I walked up there and I got this set of horns out and I pulled it out, and I'm still sitting there just sick. You know, I set it down, and there again, the Holy Spirit began to convict me. He said, Jeremy, he said, here's the thing. He said, you know, your life with this deer head, you're just like this deer head. You know, you've got a side you want everybody to see, but this is who you truly are. And let me tell you something. When you've been coming into my house of worship, when you've been going through the motions, when you've been playing church, when you've been playing church, do you realize that the aroma of your worship, everything that you've been sending up to me, smells like that deer, and it makes me sick? And can I tell you this morning, I mean, the Holy Spirit, I mean, when I realized that, I mean, I've been telling people, guys, for months now, I've been telling people, I wish I could have bottled that smell up in a cup, in a bottle, in a jar or something, and could have passed it around here to really see what my sin smelled like to my Lord. And can I tell you, and I'm going to read, and this is out of Isaiah, and verses begin to come to my head, but this is out of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. And this is the prophet Isaiah through the word of the Lord. He's speaking to the Jews, and he says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of your fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or goats. So here's what's going on. We know if you study God's word, and if you look, you know, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Okay, when Jesus came as the ultimate sacrifice, we know that the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice forever. Okay, but before Christ died, these priests would come and they would offer up sacrifices to the Lord. They would offer up burnt offerings. They would boil meat. They would offer up these aromas that for forgiveness of sin. They would do sacrifice for atonement, for celebrations, for feast. And you know what? And God required, if you read the law, God required that they would use things without blemish, things without spot, the very best. And what began to happen was these people were just taking it lightly. They were coming in, and you know what? Instead of giving their best, they were giving the bad. And you know what? And the Lord is telling them through the prophet Isaiah. He said, I do not delight in the blood of bulls or in lambs. And he says, verse 12, when you come to appear before me, Who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And the Lord gave me that verse. And let me tell you something. When I begin, when I smelt this smell and I begin to be just sick, physically sick, you know, and the Holy Spirit began to just convict me and say, Jeremy, you know, that is your life. That is what you are to me. And can I tell you something? A lot of people, you know, and I want y'all to get this morning, you know, man, and I've been telling people, man, he is gracious, and we're going to get to the good. This is kind of the hard part, okay? I'm going to tell you something, but before you stands a guy, let me tell you something. Without a shadow of a doubt, I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and let me tell you something, he changed my life. But can I tell you something? Here's a guy standing before you. I had become lukewarm. I had become just a guy going through the motions, playing the church game. And can I tell you something? That through reading God's word and guys, here's the thing. I knew it. Let me tell you something. My worship, what I was offering up to him, even though I wanted it to look good, I wanted everybody to see this. I came in with a smile. I'd sing, play my little song, do all this, say, hey, look at me. Everything, I got it all figured out. You know, everything's going good. But guys, let me tell you something. This is what I looked like to the Lord. And let me tell you something. You know what? People say, well, Jeremy, how can that be? I mean, you're saved. I mean, you know, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins. He does. But can he tell you something? I had quit confessing my sin. And you know what? We just sang a song and just read scripture out of Revelation where the angels say day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let me tell you something. We serve an amazing, but we serve a holy God. And I'm going to tell you something. My sin, my disobedience, you know, and people, when I did that video, people were like, well, Jeremy, what in the world was going on? Were you cheating on your wife? Were you doing this? Let me tell you something. I just got out of reading God's word. I got out of praying. I got out of going to him daily and saying, Lord, you got to fill me your spirit. And when I got away from him, you know what began to happen? My talk began to change. You know what? Here's the thing. I've got employees that I work with every day. You know, for years, I've been an influence to them. But instead of me influencing them, they begin to influence me. And I began to notice that my talk started changing. You know, I begin to notice when I got out of God's word and I quit praying and quit going to him, you know, the stuff that I listened to on the radio started changing. And guys, I'm talking about me. This is what was happening in my life. What's going on in yours? You know, the thing about it is, what are you wanting people to see? You know, when you come into here, what we see on the outside, and let me tell you something, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, 1 John says that if you say that you have not sinned, that you're a liar and the truth's not in you. But then if you read on, it also says, but it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here's the thing, guys, that I had gotten out of confessing my sin. I had gotten out of the act, the call it what you may, but even the art of confessing. You know, and since then, you know, I've been looking at the life of David. You know, David, King David. I mean, he was a man after God's own heart. But let me tell you something. What happened, if you remember, if you go back and recall, when he looked out at Bathsheba and he desired her, this was another man's wife. When he desired her and he committed adultery, not only did he commit adultery, but he ended up having her husband killed. And here's a man after God's own heart. And David began just to go down that slippery slope, and continue to ride that until Jonathan came and called him out. And call it what you may, but Jonathan, through the power of the Holy Spirit, came and brought conviction to David's life. And he told a story, and he said, hey, you know, there was a man that did this and did this, and you know, what would you do about that? And David was like, man, he needs to be, basically in our terms, he needs to be strung up. And he had to tell him, he said, well, David, you're that man. And it said after that, David, he repented. David saw his sin for what it was, and he truly repented. But guys, let me tell you something. I had gotten out of that repenting. I had gotten out of confessing. And you know what? My sin just began to be heaped up. And you know what was happening? It was stealing my joy. It was stealing my peace. It was stealing my opportunity to be a witness to a world that so needs it. And can I make a bold statement? This is nowhere in Scripture. I'm going to make a bold statement. Do you know why I believe that we got Democratic people, you know, presidential, you know, candidates stand up there talking, you know, hey, I'm a homosexual and the Bible is okay with it. You know why I believe we've got that running rampant in our world today? It's because people are paralyzed by their sin. The people that are sitting in this church and in churches all over America were paralyzed because, you know what, we're going to take a break. And we've allowed sin to pile up to where we become useless for the kingdom. You know, the Bible says if salt has lost its saltiness, it's good for what? For nothing but for the dunghill. So the thing about it is, guys, in my life, the Lord showed me this. He said, Jeremy, you know, this is you. You've got one side that you want everybody to see, but this is who you truly are. And, you know, and I can tell you, when I smelt that, when the Lord showed me that, when I smelt that smell of that deer head, for the first time in a long time, I truly repented. And I don't know what repentance looks like to you, but I can tell you what mine was. This is where I was at. And you know what? And things began just to flow. And sin that I had done and things that I had done, how I'd wronged somebody or done this. And those things just began to come and begin to happen. And you know what? And I had to make them right. I had to write my letter, write my wife a letter and tell her, say, this is how I failed you as a husband. These are things that I haven't done. I haven't been praying over you and washing you with the word. I haven't been doing those things. And I want you to forgive me. I want you to hold me accountable. You know, but can I tell you something? If we go and let's read, flip over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. And right there in Revelation, and this is right before just the verses that were read during worship. You know, Jesus, you know, John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And he was there, and while he was there, he saw a vision, and the Lord came to him and said, look, I want you to write letters to the seven churches that are in Asia. Okay, and he had he commended them, and he rebuked them. Okay, and the rebuke came first. He rebuked these churches. He said, I've seen your works. And he would commend them, and then he would rebuke them for what they had done. But the last church, if you look at chapter 3, verse 14, and this is to the church of Laodicea, and it says, and to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here's the thing, you know, Jesus told John, you need to write these letters to the church. And he was writing to the church at Laodicea. And just to give you some background about this church, these were physical churches that existed during the time that when the church began and when John was alive. These were the churches that had gone. Paul had done some missionary trips there. He had established several churches. These were around Turkey. This is where Laodicea was. And some of the things that Laodicea was known for, you can go and search history. There's all kinds of writing. It was a Roman, part of the Roman Empire. Okay, and when it was established, there was so much, you know, riches in Laodicea. It was on a trading route. It was on a major river that was there, and it was also in between. It was a trade route between Philadelphia and Sardis. Okay, and on that trade route that they used the river to trade, some of the things that they traded were black wool. You know, they had a lot of sheep that produced black wool. They were known for textiles. They also were known, they had a school of medicine. And I was telling my kids earlier, I said, now, you know, this ain't this like school of medicine in Augusta. You know, you got to think about in the time of Jesus and a little after that, these were just, you know, they wasn't a lot to work with. Okay, but this school of medicine, they were known, they had some of the top educators in the eyes. They made an eye salve that was used for years. Okay, that they would put on their eyes that was made in Laodicea. They were also known for banks. They were so wealthy that they had banks and they would make their own coins out of gold. It was also said that the church here in Laodicea, they would always send offerings to the temple or to the churches in Jerusalem. They would send offerings, and it said that they would send tons now of gold yearly to Jerusalem. Okay, this was going on, so you could probably look at Laodicea and say this was a wealthy church. Okay, this was a wealthy community, a wealthy church. They had great things going. They were in the leader in certain things, and they had it all figured out. But can I tell you, that's what they looked like on the outside. And what was truly seen, Jesus called them out on, he said, but because you're neither hot nor cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. And the thing about it is, his rebuke of them, he told them, he says, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. Can I tell you that in my life during that period last year, in my business, things are going great. Plenty of work. We can even look at our economy and say, wow, look at our economy. The economy, this Trump economy, is the best it's ever been. Things are going great. And can I tell you something? That when things are going good, a lot of times we quit God. And you know what? And the thing about it is, I praise the Lord, and this is part of my testimony, I praise the Lord that he got my attention through a deer head and through a hunting trip instead of through tragedy. And you know what? In the light of the Laodiceans, here's the thing. They had everything figured out, everything going good for them. But the Lord told them, this is who you truly are. He said, do you not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? And can I tell you this morning that several months ago, that's who I was. And can I tell you that my sin, my unconfessed sin, you know, I could walk out and just like that deer, I could walk out and I was strutting myself, saying, look at me, everything's going good. My business is good. I'm, you know, man, everything's going good, you know, with my kids and my wife and all this stuff. But truly, deep down inside, I was miserable. I was miserable, wretched, blind, and naked. And Jesus, he even tells them, and ain't it amazing that knowing the things that they were known for, the thing that they were prosperous for, he told them, he says, I counsel you to buy gold refined in the fire from me. You know, they were producers of gold. They were producers of coin. He said, listen, you think you got it figured out? You don't. You know, but buy from me. Come and taste and see that I am good. And he tells them, he says, look, he says, in white garments, come and buy for me white garments that you may be clothed. Here again, that they were the leading manufacturers of black wool. that they would strut, that they would make tunics. That was one of the things that they sold. They would make dresses and apparel out of this black wool that they would walk around and flaunt and say, look, we're the leaders of this industry. But God's telling them, saying, you may be clothed, but spiritually you're naked. And he says, come and buy for me white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Guys, they were a producers of eye salve that was, they thought was working physically, and it may have been working physically, but spiritually they were blind. And the Lord was telling them, look, you need to buy from me eye salve that you may see. Allow me to anoint your eyes. Call upon me. You know, and that's the thing of this whole time, you know, I had quit calling on the name of the Lord. I had quit coming to him and quit saying, Lord, you know, I need you. And it's not by mistake. You know, I told you that this city, Laodicea, was situated between Philadelphia and Sardis. If you go back and read, you know, Philadelphia was one that the Lord, he commended. He said, hey, you know, I've seen you work. So you need to hold fast, stay strong. You're doing good. Keep doing what you're doing. And you know that Sardis was called the dead church. And it is an amazing, in physical location, that it was hung right in between. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of us, we are hung in our spiritual walk. We look like we got it all figured together, but we're hanging in the balance. We're caught in between. We're caught in between being obedient and doing what God's called us to do. And let me tell you something. You may be flourishing right now in your lifestyle and in your business. And you may be doing things, man, it's never been this good before. But let me tell you something. Without the Lord first in your life, it's nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. He may call you. He may change your life and call you and say, you know what? None of this stuff means anything. I want you to get rid of it all. And I want you to follow me and be my disciple. You know, so here's the thing. You know, we go back and I don't know how much time I got, brother, and I feel like I'm trying to rush through it, but I don't want to rush through it, but I'm hurrying. But if you go back to Isaiah when the Lord showed this to me, and the Lord, I'm going to tell you, when he changed my life. And there was a time of repentance. There was a time of coming clean. And you know what? And when I began to come clean, even like this deer head, you know, one of the things that this deer head, even though I bulled this thing, I pulled it out, this thing still, you could not hold it. It would cause your hands to stink. I mean, it smelled so terrible. It still had remnants of blood. It was still dirty. I know this sounds gross, but when you do this, the brain is in this cavity here. Well, that's one of the things you have to cut and kind of get away. Do you realize there were still brains in this thing after I bought it? It's a gruesome sight. But you know, one of the things that the Lord told the Israelites, he says in verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16, it says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead the widow. In verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing to be obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, the Lord told his people, he said, look, I'm tired of you playing games. I'm tired of you going through the motions. And the good news for us this morning, the good news for me is that his Holy Spirit never quit convicting me of my sin. And I praise the Lord this morning, just like I said, that he used this story instead of something else of tragedy or a loss to get a hold of me and to get my attention. You know, but the Lord was telling me, he said, look, he said, clean yourself. Wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings before my eyes. Guys, that's true repentance. You know, can I tell you this morning, I told the men the other night, listen to me, the Bible talks about it, uses the word a lot, being blameless. Okay? It doesn't say sinless, but it says blameless. And the thing about it is, in my life, you know what? I was full of sin that I had not confessed. But you know what? I have confessed my sin, and I stand before you today blameless. Okay? And you can ask me anything. You can, there's nothing to hide, nothing to cover up. You know, and that's the thing. That is the joy of following the Lord, living a life of confession, being full of His peace and His Spirit, of saying, you know what? I have nothing to hide. This old self, you know, it's not there anymore. You know, I have confessed my sins. I can walk. And let me tell you something. When I got this deer, I took it to a friend. He cleaned it for me. And this thing, it's got a sweet smell to it. It's white. I could pass it around to where you could look at it. But here's the thing. It still has the scars. And let me tell you something. Our sin, every decision that we make, every choice that we make, I know in my life, the things that I was doing, the things that I was allowing my mouth to say, the testimony that I was putting forth to other people, those things that I was doing, guess what? They're still going to have effects. And I'm still going to have be held accountable for those decisions and those things that I've made, because sin has consequences. But can I tell you this morning, just like this deer head, you know, there are scars that remain of my sin, of my choices, that I've got to deal with on a daily basis. But you know what? To Him, when He looks at me now because of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that was shed, I am forgiven, I am clean. And can I tell you something? Because of Jesus Christ, because of what He did, and here's the thing, because of confession. Let me tell you something. We feel like, hey, let's get saved. Let's come down. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to be saved. And it's a free-for-all. You know, Paul said, just because grace abounds doesn't mean sin should abound. He said it doesn't give you, and this is Duggan's prayer, paraphrasing, you know, it doesn't give you a license to sin. But let me tell you something, but when we do sin, and I'm going to be the one that's going to tell you, it's going to happen. You're going to mess up. But can I tell you something? When you mess up and you fall short and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, you stop where you're at. You get before Him and you say, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, I can't make it without You. Lord, I know I have sinned against You. Lord, I pray that You forgive me my sins. And that You make me whole, Lord. And let me tell you something. He will forgive you of your sins and He will cleanse you. You know, Jesus, if you go back, and He even told him, He said, look, through the prophet Isaiah, He said, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They were red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Guys, can I tell you something? You know, in the sin and disobedience that I begin to go down, you know, this is something that I hope I haven't been set through Pastor David's teachings, but I hope this is a church that preaches it, and I'm pretty sure it probably is. But you know, the Bible talks about, you know, church discipline. Okay, and you know what? In my life, the sin that I was going through and the struggles that I was having and things that I was allowing to come in my life, you know, the Bible, as a church, as people of God, we have a right. If we see a brother or a sister, someone who's saved that's struggling with sin, openly sinning, the Bible tells us to go to them and tell them, say, hey, listen, this don't line up with the Word of God. Man, let me pray for you. You need to change. You need to repent. You need to have a change of heart. You need to repent. And the Bible says if they do not repent, if they do not change, it says to hand them over to who? To Satan. It says hand them over to Satan for the destruction of the body, that the spirit may be saved. Guys, we don't hear that often. But guys, let me tell you something, that is a serious thing that Paul told the church of Corinthians. Listen, if you got brothers and sisters that are living sin and they don't want to change, hand them over to Satan that he can kill them. He has full authority. You know, God gave him all the authority to do whatever he wanted to Job. But he says, but you can't take his life. He could have, but God said, I'm not going to let you take his life. And let me tell you something, how many of us, you know, we can't go to our brother that we see in sin Because we got sin in our own life that we haven't dealt with and confessed, and we don't feel like we can go and tell somebody or talk to a brother or say, hey, you're going through this. It doesn't line up with Scripture. And I believe with all my heart that's why in the church sin is so prevalent. It's because our silence. And let me tell you something. Our sin and our disobedience has silenced us. It's silenced the church. And for a year, all of last year, I can honestly say that my sin had silenced me from speaking God's truth. And you know what? And it was on that day that when God showed me that and I repented, let me tell you something. Opportunities like this, God began to allow me to go. And God's allowed me to share this. And I told David, I said, you know, I'm sorry, but the Lord hadn't told me to quit sharing this. People need to hear it. And you may come to another church somewhere else, and I'm preaching the same thing, but can I tell you something that's very important, church? I feel like, with all my heart, and the Bible tells us to encourage one another with these words, I feel like the Lord is coming back soon. If you can't look at what's going on in our world today and what's happening all around us, even here in America, what we're seeing right before our eyes, you know, the Lord is coming back soon, and I feel like right now that we are in a time of grace that we need to get our household together, that we need to get right before the Lord and begin to start preaching holiness, to be set apart, to be in the world but not of the world, but to be holy for He is holy. And we need to begin, especially as men, we need to begin to live this in our homes, to begin to preach this to our children, to our families, because if we don't do it, the world is going to. And I'm going to tell you something. You can look at our colleges today. You can look at the young people that even in the midst that we're in now, the people that are, the candidates are preaching and reaching these young people because they've been indoctrinated. And the thing about it is, if we're not preaching truth to these young people, they're going to get a false truth from somewhere else. But can I tell you something? Today, the Lord has sent me here today is to tell you, quit being lukewarm. Quit hiding your sin. Quit going around saying, I've got it all together. I look like this, but this is who you truly are. And just listening to David and listening to some of the guys in the church, God's doing a thing here. Lives are being changed. The Holy Spirit is at work here. And don't miss what God is doing. Don't miss it. Because you're afraid of what people are really going to see. Can I tell you something? If the Lord's dealing with your heart, respond to Him this morning. You know, in Revelations, if you go back and read over Revelation, you know, Jesus told John, He said, write this letter. And when He told him to buy from Him those things, then He tells him, He says, I chasten those I love. I rebuke, let me tell you something. If you're not feeling conviction this morning of your sin, it may not be that you have a relationship with the Lord. And I'm telling you this morning, He tells those, He says, those I love, I rebuke, I chasten. And He tells them what? He says, be zealous and repent. And we talked about that on Thursday night. What does it mean to be zealous, to be enthusiastic? Listen, when people come into the church house, when a lost person comes in the church house and sees people, and let me tell you something, and some of you this morning, I love and I appreciate you're zealous even in your worship. And I appreciate it. And it stirs up my heart, and I'm like, man, and I'm sitting there, holding back tears. I mean, just, you know, not wanting to lose it, but I guess I should. You know, because, man, the Holy Spirit's doing work here. But the thing about it is, some people will walk in this church and they'll see folks that are just mad as can be. Not saying that there's anybody here, because I really don't see anybody. I'm looking at all of you, and y'all look like everything's okay. But can I tell you something? You know, if God's changed your life, if He's done a work in your life, and you have confessed your sin, and you are confessing your sins daily, and you're living in the light as the Bible's talking about, and you're walking in a life of confession, let me tell you something, you're going to be excited about the Lord. You're not going to be able to hide it. You're not going to be able to hold back when you're in a crowd or you're talking to people or you go out to eat. Let me tell you something. If people are in a conversation with you for 5 minutes, they're going to hear about the Lord. Because that's what it means to be zealous. That's what it means to be enthusiastic about the Lord. You know, so this morning, I'm going to ask if the musicians will come, and I'm going to end this morning. If you'll come, we're going to have a time of invitation. And I'm going to ask Brother David if he'll come up and if he'll be here just to pray and receive people. But I want us, as this morning, as a time of invitation. I feel like this applies to every one of us in here this morning. Yeah, this morning, you may be exactly where you're supposed to be. You're living that life of confession. You're going before the Lord, man. When you fall short, which you're going to, man, you're quick. The Holy Spirit convicts. You're quick. You respond. And man, you're walking a life of confession. And let me tell you something. Let me encourage you this morning. Man, stay in God's Word. Man, give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to just being with Him and saying, Lord, you know, I'm walking in the light. I'm walking with You. I have fellowship with You, and Your blood cleanses me from all sins. And Lord, I'm walking with You, and I want You to guide me today. Show me what You want me to do. Lead me to somebody that needs to hear Your story. Help me to be enthusiastic about my relationship with You. And that's where you are this morning. And I ask that either where you're at or even around this altar, come and pray and just say, Lord, I want You to use me. Lord, I want You to use me in my home. I want You to use me in my community. I want You to use me at work, wherever it is, wherever I have influence, Lord. Lord, thank You for saving me and changing me. Lord, I want You to use me. But you may be here this morning and you say, you know what, that's exactly where I'm at, Jeremy. You know, I want everybody to see this good side, but you know what? This is who I truly am, and there's things that I'm dealing with. I know I need to quit. There's things that's going on. I know that I'm saved, but there's things that I'm dealing with in my life, and I just want to come clean this morning. That's what the Bible says. It says, clean yourself. Wash yourself. And how do we wash ourselves? We wash ourselves through confession and through what He's done. So come this morning, whatever that sin, and I'm going to tell you something. I ain't got to tell you. I don't have to urge you. You already know what it is. And you already know what's keeping you from doing exactly what it is that God's called you to do. Come and give it to Him. And you may be here this morning, and you know what? And you say, Jeremy, you know, I've never received Christ. I don't have a relationship with the Lord. Or I prayed a prayer years ago, but you know what? The Holy Spirit really wasn't dealing with me, but He's dealing with me now. And I don't have that relationship. Can I tell you, this message is for you this morning as well. Because can I tell you something? That same sin, that same lifestyle that you're living through, that is the same aroma that's going up to God. And Jesus Christ, He came 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, sinless life. And He went to a cross and He died on that cross and took our payment. He paid the price. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And He paid our payment that we should have paid. But He paid it for us on the cross. And you know what? And not only did He pay that price on the cross and He died and they buried Him, but 3 days later He arose from the grave. And the Bible says that He is seated by the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Guess what? Making intercession for you and for me. Praying that you would receive. The Bible says that He is long-suffering. He is not slack concerning His promises. You know, people said, well, Jeremy, you know, people's been saying God's coming back. Jesus is coming back. It's been 2,000 years. Let me tell you something. The longer He tarries, the more people are going to be saved. And let me tell you something. He is very patient. And he is very long-suffering. The Bible says that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but to all come to repentance. And this morning, if the Lord, however the Lord's dealing with you this morning, I pray that you come, whether it's just to say, Lord, use me. Lord, however you see fit, Lord, use me. Let nothing hold me back. Or whether it's, Lord, I've got sin that I need to confess. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Come and let brother pray for you. I'll pray with you. Or the Lord's dealing with you this morning about salvation. And you need to come this morning and say, you know what? I want to be saved. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Come this morning and confess him as the Lord of your life. Let's pray together. However the Lord is dealing with you this morning, I pray that you would respond. Father, we just come to you today. Lord, I know that, Lord, that you're speaking to hearts this morning. And Lord, I know that there's nothing special about me, Lord. It's about your word, Lord, and your truth. And Lord, I pray this morning that people would respond to your word this morning. God, that people would respond to the truth that was read off these pages, Lord. That God, that people would respond to what you're doing in their hearts. God, that people would quit living a lie. That God, that people would quit living a double life. God, that people would quit saying one thing and doing another, God, but it would line up. God, and I pray that this morning, God, that you would do a work, God, that you would begin to, Lord, to convict hearts. Already, Lord, you're doing a work in people's hearts. God, I pray that you would continue, Lord. Lord, we give this time to you. Lord, have your way in this place this morning. As he speaks, you come. If you're here this morning, you can come pray. Come and pray for these people at the altar this morning. Come and pray. However the Lord's speaking to you this morning. This morning, I want to read to you real quick. We read this in Revelation, but the Lord says, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. This morning, some of you are standing there and the Lord, Jesus is knocking on your heart. He's been knocking for a long time and you don't want to open it. Can I tell you something? It's the best decision that you'll ever do is opening the door to the Lord Jesus. And as he's knocking this morning, I pray that you would respond to him and allow him to come into your life. Allow him to meet with you. We're going to continue to sing. However he's responding, come.